Great. Thanks for everyone's insightful, inspiring, thoughtful comments. I'll try and keep this real short. Maybe I'll touch on a couple questions and leave the rest for other two panelists. To the brother who asked about the question about a definition of neoliberalism and what that refers to, it's not the political version of a liberal or liberalism. It's an economic ideology that's about cutthroat free markets, that's about removing government from the economy, that's about this NAFTA Atlantica model, that's about markets being the sole decision-making body in a society and removing people's voice from that. So it's not a critique of liberals or liberalism, but it's more a critique of this economic model and economic policy and economic ideology. That's that one. In terms of the sister who asked about alternative visions and where to find those, I think a lot of people brought up really inspiring models of examples that are out there in the realm of trade. You know, it's not a question of whether alternative. It's really a question of power. It's not a question of whether the ideas are out there. It's not a question of whether we have alternative visions or alternative proposals. It's a question of whether we have the power to actually put them forward and implement them. It's a question of whether we have the capacity to organize in deep enough levels and throughout large enough realms of society to win these things. If people are looking specifically for alternatives in the trade realm, the alternatives, alternative visions for the Americas, if you Google that, is an alternative model for what trade could look like. If you look at the Bolivians and Venezuelans and a number of other folks have put out alternative visions for trade policy that are out there. And I think a number of the sort of websites of organizations in this room have links to good alternative pieces. Two concrete just organizing things for folks to know about. We talked a lot about building cross-border relationships, cross-border movements. Two invitations to folks here. July 28th to 30th, the Maine Social Forum is happening in Lewiston, which is a space and a venue to build movement, to share ideas, to share strategy. You're all invited. You can check it out on the web, mainsocialforum.org, or just Google Maine Social Forum. Secondly, to the brothers and sisters from labor who are in the room, the Greater Bangor Area Central Labor Council is a really dynamic, strong, growing labor council in the Bangor area, and they came tonight extending invitations and an interest in trying to build cross-border relationships between union brothers and sisters. So if you go to www.gbaclc.org, Greater Bangor Area Central Labor Council, you get that info. And Bangor and St. John are sister cities, and I think they're very interested in trying to build sister labor partnerships there. And just final comments and thoughts. I don't think we can underestimate how much is at stake on our turn on the watch here. And I think it's just so important that we remember the struggles of those who came before us, what they put in, what they gave up, what they fought for, what they died for, and what kind of responsibility that puts on us. And we have to fight. We have to fight as hard as we can, and we have to put forward all we can, because it's about our future, it's about our dignity, it's about our ability to create a livable, dignified world. So I just encourage all of us to go forth with a renewed spirit and a renewed energy to do that work.
Thank you, Matt. Next, Andrew.
Well, thanks a lot for everybody's comments and questions. I really enjoyed listening to people, and I learned a lot. I guess it prompts just a couple of reflections. I was chatting fairly recently with Mel Watkins, who some people might know, a grand old man of the Canadian Nationals left, and we were sort of discussing about where we were wrong and where we were right sort of back in the great free trade debate of the late 80s. And Mel said, and I think he was wrong, he was right, that there was a sort of argument then that sort of economic integration would lead to a cultural sort of convergence and a loss of Canadian values, sense of national distinctiveness. And I think, that's obvious listening to what people have said, but overall that has not been the case. I think, the great majority of Canadians still do remain committed to what I would call a social democratic mission of society, the one that emphasizes equality of the environment, and so on. And I think what is new and what really kept through into a lot of remarks is that kind of sense of nationalism in Canada as being related to a very core set of values which we realize through policies and institutions, has become much more global in its vision. I was struck that, you know, a lot of people sort of reference local struggles, local issues, whether it's agriculture and so on, to a much more global sort of scale. And that's new. So I think we're in this space where we kind of have to sort of mediate between the fact that an awful lot of our visions about good society have been embedded in national institutions and national political spaces. I mean, that has been our tradition. I think to some degree, you know, we've all become sort of more disillusioned with politics because of the inability of those spaces to sort of grab hold of those processes. And so I think around this question of the alternative vision, I think you could attempt to outline it in the next 10 seconds, but I think this is an enormously difficult process to sort of think through the fact that people all over the world are essentially confronting the same neoliberal ideological agenda. And I think we're all confronting it on the basis of very broadly shared values and class interests, for that matter. But we're all doing that within very different sort of national spaces and contexts. So how we go beyond abstract solidarities and sharing our concerns to a real concrete vision of moving it forward, I think is a really complex and difficult question that I'll leave to Boyd.
Thank you, Andrew. Next, Mosh.
Premièrement, nos excuses à l'homme qui correctement suggère que nous avons dans la bilingue et de souligner que nous sommes un pays bilingue et c'est une très, très, très importante facette de notre pays. Merci, monsieur, pour ça. On the issue of neoliberalism, I would add that neoliberalism is also the sellout by a lot of people in the Liberal Party to things that had been very deeply embedded, I guess the best of their heritage, in adopting what's been described here. And the difference between a neoliberal and a neoconservative is that neoconservatives believe in neoliberalism, but they're also social conservatives, and that's a dangerous new twist. On the U.S. military, we don't have time tonight. There's a tremendous amount of material on that. I've written about it in the book on Canada-U.S., because I really was very disturbed, and the more I researched and the more I learned about it, the more I realized that this is a terrible, terrible story, that the U.S. is in space. The military has taken a terrible new turn, and it has to be foremost in all of our thinking. And we should realize that the new government is going to open up ballistic missile defense again, just as they're opening up same-sex marriage. We thought those issues were dealt with. It looks like that's not so. We're going to have to ratchet up that fight. My brother Pat from Laurinville, that wonderful fight, you're not from Laurinville, but that wonderful fight that we had, I want to remind you, we were also fighting the multilateral agreement on investment in that time, and we won, so I want us to take away a good feeling of success tonight. When we come together as a movement, we inevitably win. It's when we don't fight back that we win. I have to stand up for this part. I want to say to you that tonight I feel we've unleashed a movement. I feel something in my soul. It's kind of like my hairs have gone up in my arm here. And I will remind you, or I'll tell you what it reminds me of. In 1999, when many of us, thousands and thousands of us, came from around the world to Seattle for the World Trade Organization ministerial, we came with the intention of telling our truth to their power, but to be honest with you, it never occurred to me that we could shut the thing down. We put on a teach-in the first night and 2 days before the meeting started on the Monday. We had a huge event all weekend at the Benaroya Opera Hall. It held 3,000 people. It was filled hours before. They were scalping tickets, and I will never forget, as long as I live, I was lucky enough to be on the opening panel, and when I came out, and we all came out on that stage, the energy was so phenomenal in the room, we were almost breathless. You know, thousands of people stood up and screamed and cheered, and the energy in that room was so palpable that when I got up to speak, I said, oh, they should be afraid. I'll never forget it as long as I live, and I want to say it to you tonight. And I knew at that moment that we were going to shut down the WTO. I knew it was going to be young people and working people and environmentalists and new Canadians and people from around the world working together all over the world. We were going to shut that thing down, and we did. But I knew that night because I felt the same energy that I felt in here tonight. I want to say to you, it's incredibly important that we do our part. There's a fight back against this agenda all over the world. France and the Netherlands led the fight in Europe to say no to the one great market. Latin America is moving massively away from this, and they are now moving to coordinate a whole new vision in Latin America coming from the very ground up, from the very bottom up, and it is based on the poorest of the poor in the world. They are literally leading the fight. It is, I mean, people talked about Bolivia. In Bolivia, it's the indigenous peoples, that 85% of the population there is indigenous, and they have taken back their rights. I have privilege to work with the water movement around the world, and let me tell you, those water companies are being kicked out of every single country and every single community. So we have to do our part in North America. We can't allow this fight to be fought by others. There has to be this movement here. That solidarity has to be shown. We have to be here. And we can start by doing our part by saying no to the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America and no to Atlantica. And let us just say to ourselves tonight, and I thank you with my heart and soul, and I mean what I say, this is a movement that started tonight. I have absolutely no doubt that we're going to win. Let's go out of this room tonight and say to ourselves that our country is not for sale, the Atlantic region is not for sale, our rights, our dignity, our resources, our diversity, our culture, our children, not one of them is for sale. No to Atlantica. Thank you.